Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Friday morning is upon us. It's an elimination game for the St. Louis Cardinals tonight as they'll take on the San Diego Padres. The San Diego Padres and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Padres have Johnny Holstaff and the Cardinals have Jack Flaherty. I'll tell you what, Ben Fredrickson, this is what you wanted. If you were the St. Louis Cardinals going into this 2020 season and you would have said, hey, by the way, it's 60 games. Your team's going to get hit with COVID. You're going to have to sit out 17 times. You're going to get hit with COVID a couple times, by the way. And it's going to be a winner-take-all game. You got Jack Flaherty going in the winner-take-all, fully rested. You would have taken that, and that's what they got tonight.
Yeah, that's the and that's how they're looking at it, Dan. I mean, when you listen to the Cardinals after that game, they could have been shell-shocked. They could have been, you know, hey, we don't know what happened. I mean, it's the first time. Game two was the first time. You got to go all the way back to like the late 30s when the Cardinals were playing the Brewers in the World Series to find a Cardinals team that had a 4-run lead in a postseason game and then saw it evaporate on them and turned into a loss. And I think the natural thing to do is say, well, they fell apart. Well, they really didn't. The offense tried to answer that barrage of Brewers runs. You can nitpick the relief choices that Mike Schilt used. However, those guys have been delivering for this team all season. That bullpen is the biggest reason that the Cardinals are in this position of playing in this series. And I think more than anything, what happened was we saw what happened when you let the Padres be the Padres. The Cardinals had done an excellent job, Dan, of really keeping the lid on the Padres. And that's not easy to do. This team hit the third most home runs in the National League. They've won something like 60% of their games via comeback. That's just kind of how they play. If they have swagger, they have this energy, and they kind of build off each other. They feed off each other. And the Cardinals had given them no scraps of food, not only through the first game, but through six and a half innings of the second. They're two outs away from the seventh inning stretch before Fernando Tatis hits that home run, and then all of a sudden the game had changed. And it was, five home runs against different Cardinals relievers and the piling on. And it was almost like a match was thrown into a box of fireworks. It was just pow, pow, pow. And then it was over. And the Cardinals still tried to come out of the wreckage. But that's a power that not very many teams can answer when Tatis is going off and Will Myers is going off and Machado's going off and Tommy Pham's hitting doubles. It was just like a blitz.
Yeah.
So the dust settles. And here's my point. It's a long winded one. The dust settles on that. The Cardinals could have had their head spinning. They come into the post game Zoom and they say, hey, we got a chance to play an elimination game with Jack Flaherty, the at times the ace of our staff. That title slipped a little bit this season versus, you mentioned Holstaff gets to start. It might actually be the whole staff for the Padres because they're going to have to use everybody. They like the position they're in, and they feel good about it. I thought that started with Mike Schilt, and it trickled down to his players, and that's the energy they're taking into this huge game today.
Well, to me, it started with the walks. And you can look at the home runs, but Hennessy Cabrera, the Cardinals had the momentum. Hennessy Cabrera cannot have those two walks. That can't happen. And when it did happen, you could just see, not that there was a momentum shift, but it just can't happen. You can't have those two walks in that particular time, and then all of a sudden, it kind of just cracked the door open, and here come the Padres.
Yeah, you cannot give them any extra ammo because they're powerful enough as it is. If that game is five home runs and they're all solo shots, okay. But when you're putting guys on base in front of those dangerous bats, then you're making trouble for yourself. That I thought those two walks to the eighth and ninth hitters were huge. The one thing and I know it's easy to go, oh, how could they? How could that reliever have given up that? Well, home runs happen in baseball. The Padres hit a ton of them. The only other thing that I looked at, looking back at it, And I wonder if he would have done it a little differently. I think Mike Schilt might have wished he would have gone to back to Ryan Helsley after he got that final out of the inning. Because, he struck out Will Myers on 100-mile-an-hour looking. And that was just the only batter that he faced. And they could have gone back out to him to start the next inning. They would have had to at least rely on him for two hitters because of the three-batter rule, which I think sometimes people are forgetting about. But Helsley looked good, and I think they maybe wish they would have gone more with him. He should be available in game three. You think you gotta find some action for Alex Reyes as well. And you better only use your best and most locked in arms really in relief against these guys, because now the Padres are now they got their flow back. And any mistake probably is gonna be punished. But the biggest mistake be don't give them crooked numbers by walking guys in front of their best hitters.
Well, I think you also have to look at it from their perspective is that the Cardinals, they're hitting a little bit, and the Cardinals are hitting, and they don't have their staff, and they don't have Clevinger and Lamet. And let's face it, Trevor Rosenthal has not been Trevor Rosenthal, and he's pitched in back-to-back games. So not only trying to get 27 outs, but the final three outs could be problematic for them.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Cardinals said a lot of this entering this series, and it was kind of I understood what they were saying, but I also kind of took the stance of, all right, I'd like to see it before I believe it. And what they said was, look, people might have kind of overlooked the fact that, this lineup was kind of ground to dust by the way in which the Cardinals had to return from the COVID outbreak. And they played so many games, and these guys were starting so many games, and it was just kind of mentally and physically exhausting. Those 2 days off that they had entering this series were talked about a lot, to say, we got our legs back underneath us, we're feeling good, we feel refreshed. And I kind of thought, okay, well, if that's the case, then we'll see it. Well, we have seen it, Dan. We've seen Dylan Carlson look completely in control at the cleanup spot. We've seen Paul Goldschmidt be Paul Goldschmidt and have the power and also the energy. We've seen Paul DeJong find his footing a little bit. Colton Wong hits a home run. Everyone's mad that Harrison Bader gets to start the second game after five strikeouts in the game, which they score a ton of runs, and he immediately delivers with a comebacker, early in game two. I mean, the offense has looked good, and who knows if what it would have looked like in a regular season without COVID, and if more guys, had not had to sit around for 2 weeks. We don't know. We'll never know. And I still think they need to make an offensive upgrade of some kind this offseason, no matter what happens. However, the offense looks a lot better than we thought it was capable of at times, or certainly than I did. I don't want to speak for you, but we've also seen, the Cardinals, figure out that they can jump on this Padres pitching. That's why they were able to get so close to two games and getting out of here before the Padres really found their power. They attacked Chris Paddock. They jumped all over him in game one. They did a great job of doing it with Davies in game two. They have real confidence that they can score run against these Padres pitchers. And now they're in a spot where the Cardinals feel like they've got one of their, a guy who could potentially go deep and hold this Padres lineup down if Jack Flaherty can get his mechanics right. And the Padres are kind of going, hey, we're just going to have to throw the kitchen sink at these guys pitching wise. That's a good spot for the Cardinals. They should be in a better place than the Padres entering game three.
Want to remind folks, here's a scoop about Clarkson Eye Care. They provide eye exams for the whole family, including kids. Clarkson doctors understand how important it is for every child that they have their eyes examined. School has just started, so make sure to get their eyes examined, and that eye exam begins early. So I stay healthy. Get to know the doctors at Clarkson Eye Care. Visit ClarksonEyeCare.com. Schedule an appointment today. I think it's really important that Jack Flaherty gets back to Jack Flaherty. Now, he's not facing the Milwaukee Brewers. They have his number. Maybe he's tipping pitches against him. They got a tell against him, whatever. It needs to be the Jack Flaherty. Doesn't have to be great like he was against the Pittsburgh Pirates, striking out 11, but somewhere in between. But this is why Jack Flaherty wants to be the man. He wants to be the ace. Well, young man, this is it. This is go time. It's set up for you to do it.
I don't have anything else to add. You're 100% right. It's been a challenging season for Jack on the mound. I think it's been a searching season for Jack off the mound. The season's tested him in a lot of ways. And I think he feels like he hasn't had very often had his best stuff. Well, There's never been a better time to find it. And his teammates believe in him. He has the ability and has the talent to go out and pull the plug back out against this Padres lineup. And you know, this is the moment that you want if you're Jack. If I don't, you know, he has not expressed any disappointment or anything of not being the series opening starter, or not being guaranteed a game in this series. But you know that it, as a competitor, he went, okay, you know, I'll show him what I can do if I get the shot. Well, here it is. And the Cardinals feel great about having him on the mound. But if he pitches like we've seen him pitch at sometimes, you know, later toward the end of this regular season against teams not named the Pirates, then the Cardinals could be in trouble here. So they need Jack Flaherty to set the tone. I think it's about the first inning, really. The Padres entered this game with all this momentum, Dan. I mean, they had people driving around the ballpark honking, going crazy last night after the game for an hour after it was over. Just around the downtown San Diego, people are fired up. The Padres are such a momentum team that if Jack can set his tone, put his fingerprint on the first inning of this game, then I think the Cardinals kind of settle back into that place of kind of having the upper hand. If things go sideways on him, if he's walking guys or giving up extra base hits in the first inning, then all of a sudden the Padres start to get their swagger back even a little bit more.
So let's switch gears, as we always do on these Friday mornings, with Ben Fredrickson of STLtoday.com. Mizzou and Tennessee. Tennessee is favored in this game. I thought Mizzou showed themselves well in their debut under Eli Drinkwitz. What are you expecting this weekend?
I think it's going to be a closer game than the spread indicates. I think the Tigers will cover here. I'm not sure that they'll win, but I think all you can ask for this Mizzou team is that they get better week by week. And if they do that from the way they played against Alabama, then they can give Tennessee a game. Tennessee had a kind of a scare at South Carolina, unranked South Carolina to start the season. They won that game, but it wasn't pretty, and they had some hiccups. So they look a little like they're kind of figuring this out, like a lot of teams that we saw in week one. It's hard to dig too much into week one, but Missouri, I think, you know, feels like it can hang with this Tennessee team, and it certainly should be able to. Missouri's defense is going to have to be the strength of its team, Dan. Especially as the offense kind of finds its way, figuring out who's going to play quarterback when with Sean Robinson and Connor Basilak. I really liked what the defense did against Alabama. They didn't stop Alabama's best players from scoring. No team in the country will. But they hit hard. They made sound tackles. They got better as the game went along. And they didn't have these massive blown coverage breakdowns that we were used to seeing from Missouri in early games and in previous seasons. So they've got some real legit players, SEC players like Nick Bolton on that defense. They've got to set the tone. And I think we'll see a better game, hopefully, from Sean Robinson. He kind of got graded tough in that season opener. The guy hadn't played a game in more than a year, and his first game back is against Alabama. And, you know, his completions percentage was really sharp. His mobility was there. He made some silly decisions trying to extend plays, trying to do too much, holding onto the ball too long, making a bad pitch, trying to salvage a play that turned into a fumble. And you don't want those mistakes, and he said as much. But I'd rather have a guy who makes mistakes trying to make something happen than a guy who makes mistakes being too timid. So I think he'll get the start again, and we might see some more Connor Basilak as the series play out. And also if you have Sean Robinson struggle. But if the defense can play well, I think that gives the chance of the offense to make some plays. I'd like to see Larry Rountree get more involved earlier in this game than he was in week one, and I think Eli Drinkwitz will find a way to get that done.
He's kind of a kick on these calls, isn't he? Kind of when he evaluates everything and when he does the media.
Yeah, man, I appreciate his candor. He's a tough grader of himself. And I feel like I appreciate having a coach who will tell you what he's thinking about the game plan. I mean, he walked out the field after Alabama, and he wanted, first of all, no sympathy for the loss, not about moral victories. And he also had a really good feel for, I think, the game in terms of what happened, what he would have done differently, what he felt like they should have changed. And this was like moments after the game ended. Usually it takes coach, you know, a couple days to break down the film before they want to weigh in on things. I think he sees the game well. And I think his play calling will adjust to the players that he has. I think we'll see guys who played well play more. which fans should appreciate, coaches who change based off the players they have. The one thing he's got to stop doing, in my opinion, is getting too caught up in how the media is covering his team or what questions they're asking. He's a football coach. He shouldn't be playing the role of media czar. Talk about what he wants to talk about, answer questions as he wants to answer them, and let his players do the same, or talk to his players. But the role of, hey, I'm gonna start telling people what they should be asking who, I don't know that that's gonna fly at a school that's got literally more people covering the team at all different levels than probably any other SEC team. So those are my two cents on that. But no, he knows what he's doing, and he's gonna keep people interested in this season, which it's a good thing to have when you're in a rebuilding phase like he is.
I want to ask you, too, about Petro. NHL season over. They got through it. The big rig got another ring.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
So I guess the Stars have to sign him next, right?
Probably. Wherever he goes, just bet on them.
Incredible. It's wild.
It is wild. And then, you know what? We've got the NHL. Free agency period is here. So now that's the big news with the Blues. You know, can they or will they sign him? And Doug Armstrong is steadfast to say, I would think, hey, go out and see in a COVID world where the economy has been thrashed, go see what you can get. You know what the salary cap is. Go see what you can get. It's essentially what he's saying. That's the way I take it. But what do you think?
I think Army is kind of... I wouldn't say amused, but I think he's saying, yeah, this is kind of funny how this works. You know, all of a sudden there was the story out that the Blues and Petrangelo couldn't reach a compromise, and it happened, you know, a week plus before there was this day of, okay, now he has to hear offers from other teams. It was almost as if, you know, Petrangelo and his camp wanted an answer when they wanted it or not at all. And I think there's a little bit of both ways going here, where Petrangelo wants to make it clear he wants to be back in St. Louis, but part of him also wants to hear what else is out there too. And I don't blame him for that. He's earned that opportunity, but he can't expect Doug Armstrong to come hollering after him and trying to change his stance before there's even an opportunity to see what the market is like for Petrangelo. I think some of these free agents are going to realize that the market might not be what they hope. And I'm talking about baseball too. You know, we're talking about Yadier Molina. Is he going to be back? What's it going to look like? It's kind of a comparable situation here. Molina might want to be back more than he even says he does after he sees what offers are and are not out there for a player at his point in the career. Now, Petrangelo is younger, and there might be a team that's willing to offer him more money than the Blues. And if that's what it comes down to, then and that's what his top value is, and that's what he wants is to make the most amount of money over the course of the contract, then he's probably going to be gone. Usually when a guy gets to that point where he's hearing the other offers, then he almost is always gone. Now, Molina's situation will be different because Molina has to hear, at least have an opportunity to receive other offers because of the pay cut he'll likely take from the $20 million that he has on his contract. Now, it's a CBA rule. Petrangelo's a little bit different in that sense. He could have an extension, you know, announced with the Blues any moment if they were able to agree on one. What I think Army is doing is the right thing. I think he knows where he wants to go. I think it's somewhere around 8 years, $8 million per year. And I feel like he's not going to budge too much beyond what he wants to do. And if Petrangelo wants to come back and talk about that, then I think Army won't hold a grudge and would be willing to do that and then make the contract fit. But if there's one thing we've learned about Doug Armstrong, and this is a compliment, it's that he doesn't involve emotion into these decisions. He's able to take that part out of his body, put it in a desk in his drawer, and he locks it, and then he goes out and makes the deals. And I think one thing Petrangelo's probably realizing too is any notion that the fans were going to, you know, storm the castle in demands of bringing the captain back, that might be the case in some years. Army might feel pressure to bring the captain back who won the cup. But here's the thing. Fans know that Doug Armstrong went out and traded for Ryan O'Reilly. Fans know that Doug Armstrong built the team that won that Stanley Cup. And fans also have the memory of David Backes leaving as the captain and seeing his career really go downhill fast after that. And they, you know, appreciate Army not getting an emotional decision there when it came to that extension that he didn't give. So I think Army's got more power here maybe than Petrangelo and or his agents realize.
I would agree. What do you think? If you had to put a percentage on it, whether or not he comes back, what do you think? I know it's a tough question, but it's kind of a fun question.
No, it's fair. It's a fair question. I think on these podcasts multiple times we've talked, I said I think it's going to happen that he'll be back. As my buddy Jim Thomas says, you know, this goes back to his days covering the NFL. Usually when a guy gets out into the open waters of free agency, if he gets out there in that boat, it doesn't come back to shore. I think it will be hard for Pietrangelo to hear an offer from another team that includes more money and then say, no, I'll take less to play for the team that I've done everything for in my career. That's kind of a hard thing to do, right? And I get that. You know, you play your career, you've done great things. This team that didn't benefit from any of that wants to pay me more than the team that I did those great things for. And that's a hard thing to justify in your head. It becomes about, you know, being valued and respect. And it's really none of those things. It's about business. And it's about hitting the cap and trying to put the best hockey team on the ice. That's how Army views it. And Pietrangelo views it differently. So if he gets out there, you know, and there's not some deal announced today, then I think that's probably a coin flip that he's gone, as opposed to me leaning toward the fact that he'll be back.
Hey, Ben, thanks. Hopefully you're staying in the bubble or wherever you're staying or whatever you're doing out in the West Coast, and the Cardinals can pull off a little win today, and then they'd have those vaunted L.A. Dodgers in another postseason matchup with L.A. That would be fun.
Yeah, we'll see whether we talk next week from I guess, you know, in Arlington or back in St. Louis. We'll find out by the end of the day, but yeah, man, things are well. Travel's been interesting, but hey, we're covering Cardinals postseason baseball, and I'm happy about that.
You got it. Thanks, buddy.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.